everybody. Welcome to the conference committee. Thank you all for taking the time today. We're going to try to whip through this fairly quickly. I want to just start by saying again, we have a quorum present. Members, just kind of today's roadmap a little bit. As you recall, this has been a long going standing for a little while. I kind of got home a little bit last session. I'll take the blame for the freshman work on this because, you know, we just had a lot of stuff coming at us at the end. So anyway, it's even a better goal today because of it. So I appreciate you doing that. Kind of a roadmap for the day is really just to hear an overview from the nonpartisan staff about the three bills that we've been talking about today, with House File 1036 as well as Senate File 454. We'll take up the author's amendments, E6 amendment, walk through the bill summaries, comparison, take up the E3 amendment, and any other amendments that we want to talk about today as well. So again, is there any questions at this point for this reason at this point? So. All right, let's get started. So again, I was really going to ask Ms. Hayes if she would actually provide the members of an overview of the bill. And we'll start with that. Do I need to formally remove the bill at this point? To introduce this, I just want to make sure
procedurally I've got it right. How's that work?
If not, the author of the chair will, move the bill as it is, the comparison, and open this up. So, Ms. Hayes, if you could actually step us through the bill.
Okay. I'm going to start with just a really broad overview of the bill. This bill contains three separate bills, House File 1036 and Senate File 454. And that is the base bill, which removes the requirement for physician assistants to negotiate a delegation agreement with alternate supervising physicians. The next sections of the bill are on midwifery. Representative Lomer carried the bill in the House. It did not get a hearing. Senator Pappas and Representative Kiffmeyer's co-author sponsored Senate File 1119. This bill makes technical changes to the midwifery statutes and modifies the composition of the advisory council for licensed traditional midwifery. And House File 1584 and Senate File 1521, authors Albright and Senator Sharon, modifies temporary immediate suspensions, hearing and notice requirements for disciplinary action initiated by the health-related licensing boards.
Members, are any questions on the overview? And then we'll just jump into the 8-6 amendment. So seeing and hearing nothing, then the overview. Let's move to the amendment A6. That is an author's amendment on A6. I will move the A6 amendment.
So we move the A6 amendment.
That's the only unofficial engrossment.
Okay.
1036. All right. So Ms. Hayes, if you could explain the A6 amendment for us, please.
Mr. Chair and members, the A6 amendment on lines 3 and 4 deletes the word serious from the two places it occurs in section 10 on page 6. On page 8, line 26, it reinstates a stricken criminal section so that the crime of theft is reinstated as a cause for disciplinary action by the board. The final section in the amendment deletes section 15 from the side-by-side in comparison because that section was enacted last year in the HHS omnibus bill. I also have an oral amendment. If I could offer that, please.
Yes, please do so.
On page 6 of the bill, line 17, after risk, insert to public health or harm to others, and delete of harm.
Yeah, we'll have to repeat that so staff and everybody gets that. So,
I was looking at the actual bill and not the side by side.
Section 10.
Section 10.
that you're working off of this.
Okay, Ryan.
Line 17. After the word wrist, insert to public health or harm to others. And then delete of and harm. The word serious has already been deleted in the author's amendment. So the sentence, the clause would be, continued practice by the regulated person presents an imminent risk to public health or harm to others.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to propose that we keep serious in there and keep serious in 143 and 144. Delete those out of the amendment.
All right. Procedurally here, are we looking at two oral amendments right now, or I just want to make sure I carry one, take care of one before the other? So why don't we do this, if I could, Senator Eaton, is let's talk about the first amendment, oral amendment that we that Ms. Hayes brought to the table, and let's have further conversation about that. Again, I think that was brought forward by Representative Hillstrom. So maybe, Representative, if you'd like to comment on that, and then maybe explain that, and then we'll get over to Senator Eaton's thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I actually raised this issue that by adding the word serious under this section of temporary license suspension, you're actually raising the level of harm that's required in order to do a temporary suspension, even over what's in current law. So what's been placed in this bill is a lot of procedures to give due process, but I'm concerned with raising the level of harm required in order to do a temporary suspension. I think it's great that we're adding additional due process, but I added, or I requested the language of imminent risk to public health or harm to others, because I took that language actually out of the EMT statute, which is exactly the language they use for temporary suspension of their license. So members, that is the reason I believe I'm on this conference committee, and so I would prefer that we not actually increase the level of harm allowed to be done over what current law says for the level of harm for a suspension.
Mr. Chair. My understanding is serious harm is the term. Serious harm is the term used in all the other boards, and in the Office of the Legislative Auditor's report on complaint resolution on nursing, he states in two places serious harm and serious harm on page 26 and 35. And I believe that that is a good level to go to. It is a preference of the Nurses Association, and it is my preference.
I'm sorry, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so is there someone here that can give us clarification of what the difference between the standard of imminent risk of public health or harm to others versus serious harm? What level of harm could be done to someone that one would require a suspension and one would not?
I think this would actually be an appropriate time for some comments from someone else in the audience, perhaps. Sure, because we've been on hold for a while here, and the spinnies get caught up. Is there anybody that would like to speak to this question from Representative Hillstrom, or maybe talk about that?
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
Sure.
I can. Sure.
We don't have a microphone there. Is that going to be a problem? Is that going to be put over there? Thank you very much. Please state your name for the record. And
Mr. Chair, my name is Shirley Breck, and I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Nursing. And I would share with Representative Hillstrom that serious harm is the level that is in that is currently in the Nurse Practice Act. There is provision for the disciplinary action that the Board of Nursing can take in the Nurse Practice Act. That's Chapter 148. That level is that word serious harm is in there. However, the language in 214 that was passed last year would supersede that particular provision in the Nurse Practice Act. I would tell you that in practice, the Attorney General's Office is often the sort of the final determiner of whether or not there is sufficient evidence as well as that level of harm to proceed with a temporary suspension. The board has the authority to do it, it is certainly the Attorney General's Office that, you know, would represent us in that hearing process. So we have long used that term. It is individual case by case. I couldn't say to you that it is, you know, that there's a degree that we base it on. It will be based entirely upon at that given moment in time, dependent upon what the situation is and what the violation of the law would be to determine whether or not the board would proceed with a temporary suspension using that level of determination of serious harm.
Yes, Representative Gilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, so I work in the criminal world, usually not in the licensing world, and serious harm is defined very clearly in the criminal statute, right, based on the level of harm that you do, that is based on the level of criminal charges that you have. So I only think it's fair that you actually disclose to the people who you're going to suspend their licenses what actually they have to do to cause harm to get their licenses taken, right? So what is regular harm, what is serious harm? And if it is on just simply a case-by-case basis, I'm not sure that they actually have due notice of the risk to losing their license. And so that is my concern. So I want to know, what can you do before you get your license taken? What is serious harm or what is not serious harm? And again, in the world I usually work in, that's pretty clear. And serious harm is a higher level than just doing harm. And so, for example, when you see an abuse victim, right, you might poke a child every day to get them to comply, right? It doesn't cause any bruising, it doesn't cause any permanent scarring, but if you're poking them with something sharp to get them to comply, you're causing a level of harm. Now, serious harm in our world is when you're going to actually leave a scar, or you're going to leave a mark, or you're going to leave some permanent damage. So my question to you is, what level of harm, based on the language that you want of serious, do you get to do before they take your license right away? That's what I want to know. And I hope someone can make that pretty clear about what serious means.
Ms. Bracken.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, I don't know that I can make it clear in the sense that there is a line that's drawn in the sand for, you know, when is it serious and when is it, you know, less serious. As I said, what the board's, you know, all of the boards, and I'm speaking for the Board of Nursing, but I think I'm speaking for all of the boards when I say what the board is going to look at is, first of all, recall that the temporary suspension actually takes away due process for the individual. The due process comes after the action, where in other cases, without doing a temporary suspension, the individual has their due process ahead of time, then the action is taken. In this case, the board takes the action and then provides the due process to the individual. So in that instance, you know, what's happening is that bar of removing somebody from practice, taking away their livelihood, you know, the board looks at that very seriously, and I don't mean that in a pun in any way, but considers that very seriously. And then in addition to that, the board has to be assured that it can have sufficient evidence to go to hearing within that specified time. And so, you know, in many instances, it's going to depend upon whether or not the individual would be, say, I'm just going to give some factors that the board might look at. They might look at whether or not, what's the vulnerability of the individual, the particular, you know, person, or in this case, you know, the public in general. The second thing that they're going to look at is might be, say, something such as what's the opportunity for the individual to continue to provide that kind of risk to the public or to an individual patient? What kind of protections can be put in place short of removing that person from practice? In some instances, it might even, you know, one of the ways that we use, especially if the individual is involved in a criminal case, is a stipulation to cease practice, where the individual enters into that agreement and says, I'm not going to practice until the investigation takes place and the matter is ready for resolution. The board might also look at the probability of the individual being able to repeat the behavior or repeat the actual action that is resulting in the violation of the law. So it's going to depend very much on what is given at that point and what the board believes is that imminent risk to the public harm. As I said, I mean, in current law, you know, the word serious is in there. And it has been, it is in the Nurse Practice Act. But, you know, and I know that it is in other practice acts too. So it's a standard that the Attorney General's Office, you know, recommends that we use. And this language was also reviewed by the Chief Administrative Law Judge to put us in alignment with administrative law in regards to the hearing process. So, you know, we went to the Attorney General's office, we went to the Office of Administrative Hearings to get the language to be as in alignment as we could. I don't know if I'm answering your question the way you want it answered, because we don't have that standard in law that says it's this or this.
Representative Hillstrom.
I think there are others that want to testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I'm sorry, member, Senator McIntyre.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to wait for the other testifiers. If I come, I just want to let you know I would like to run time.
Sure, you bet. Is there anybody else that would like to testify in front of the committee? Yes. Go ahead and thank you, and please again introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Ruth Martinez. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Medical Practice, and I will just add just a comment in line with Ms. Brecken's comments. In the medical practice, the term use is risk of serious harm. We don't have the word imminent, and this was really a consolidation of some of the several practice acts and trying to find language that was acceptable across all of the health licensing boards. And we work very closely with the Attorney General's office that represents all of the health licensing boards in specifically crafting that language, as well as with the Chief Administrative Law Judge. So I just wanted to give you a little background on where that recommendation for that language came from.
So are you aware of any place in statute or in case law or an administrative law decision about what the definition of serious harm is and where that line is?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom. I asked the specific question of our Attorney General who recommended the language, and his response to me was that it was put in for constitutional purposes. I'm not an attorney, and I won't attempt to interpret it beyond that. I would agree with Ms. Brennan.
Well, so the standard to meet constitutional mustard on this is you either have to, one, have the harm be at least to the level of imminent risk to public health or harm to others, which is what I got out of the EMT statute, or you have to have a hearing right away. So the legislature has two choices. We can either make you have the due process hearing faster or right away, or so they have their due process, or we can say this is the standard by which we're going to use. But if we don't give a standard to measure, it's very difficult to say, and you know what, we're going to trust you to evaluate equally across all of these boards that you're using the same standard to determine what level of harm is. And that's kind of one of the challenges that I'm kind of seeing in this area, right? Because I want nurses or doctors or whoever's doing it to know, look, if I do this, I'm going to lose my license right away. And if we're not clear, then it puts them at a disadvantage, I think.
All
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would just like to say that in the, on the boards, and the nursing board in particular, we expect professional behavior, and we have a wide variety of people on that board who make these decisions. And doing it on an individual basis is actually the fairest way to do it, because some there are mitigating circumstances. If you're poking me with a sharp object, it's not as big a deal if you're poking that child. If you're swearing at me, it's not as big a deal as if you're swearing at a vulnerable adult. It's they require being able to use your common sense and make some decisions on that. So I don't think that this fits into the type of law that Representative Hilstrom's talking about.
Yeah. Further comments? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I read this, I take a look and say, we are in a situation where taking away someone's livelihood, harming their reputation thereby, because when you do that, you do harm to their reputation, and you are doing this prior to due process, which is the constitutional issue. You should have imminent risk of serious harm before you do that. And the whole point is, if by the time you do an investigation or you look at it, that takes time. It just humanly takes time. So you should have this high degree imminent risk of serious harm prior to doing that. And not just harm to those who would be maybe vulnerable to that, but it's also harm to those who are practicing and are caring. And we've always respected that due process. That's really, really important. So I think for me, I really support retaining this language for those three reasons.
Okay. What about the history? Okay. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I would just add that the Health Licensing Division of the Attorney General's Office represents all of the health licensing boards, and because they recommended this language, I think they had some clear ideas about what level of risk they expected to defend when health licensing boards take temporary suspension actions. And so I think they are looking for consistent application of to Representative Hilstrom's point. I think you don't want people all over the map and taking temporary suspension actions. And I think because this language came from the division that represents all of us in those actions, we relied upon them to give us the appropriate language for this particular section of statute. Thank you
for that. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Anybody else want to testify? Yes.
Hi, my name is Laura Sales, and I am with the Minnesota Nurses Association, and I just wanted to not going to be able to answer the question that Representative Hilstrom brought about the criminal part of statute, but just wanted to support what the medical Board of Medical Practice and the Board of Nursing was saying. And the reason why we supported the underlying bill last year is because it added that word serious in the risk of imminent harm, because it sort of codifies what they're doing, and on the advice of the Attorney General, this is the clarification that they wanted in statute. So I just wanted to reiterate that we were supportive of the underlying bill for the very same reasons that those of them had indicated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, further comments on this amendment? Before we actually take action on this amendment, I'm going to back up just a second and have Senator Eaton move the House File 1036, the unofficial engrossment, be here in front of the committee, be moved to the committee. Do I have to do that favor?
So moved.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All members in favor of just the motion of moving that, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so we're in front of the bill now, and then go back to the amendment that we were just discussing. Again, is there further comments on the A6 amendment? Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I raised the issue on the House floor that Chapter 609.52, the entire chapter was deleted from the section on page 8, line 8.26. Mr. Chair, when you presented the bill on the floor, you stated that you were eliminating misdemeanor theft. Now, I didn't have a problem with elimination of misdemeanor theft in this section. However, Chapter 609.52 is the entire theft statute, so that would include theft by swindle, theft over $35,000. That is the entire statute, which is why this amendment has reinstating that particular provision. This group wanted to exempt misdemeanor theft. It can be crafted that way. It just, this is the entire theft statute, including, again, all of those other kinds of thefts. But on line 8.24, the item that is stricken there, give me one moment. So, Mr. Chair, the section that is being deleted on that line for this conference committee's information, subdivision 2 is assault in the fifth degree, gross misdemeanor assault. So that means that you are removing from the requirement for a hearing if you have a gross misdemeanor assault, which is anyone who commits a misdemeanor assault for the second time within 10 years. Or who violates the previous provision within 3 years of a previous qualified domestic assault. So you're removing that gross misdemeanor. And in this other section, the 609.2231 subdivision 8, I'm trying to figure out where this paragraph C kind of came from, but you're adding assault of a vulnerable adult. But you're leaving out all of the other provisions that are in that section of the statute, which includes assault on a police officer, assault on a EMT, assault on a healthcare worker. All of those others are being left out when you just include that subdivision 8.
Mm-hmm. One second. I'm sorry if I could just one. I know that that's what came up on the House floor last year, some of this language, and that's why I decided to table it. What we have at least here today is some technical understanding. Yes, if I could rely on Ms. Aves to give us an understanding. I think there's some other language that clarifies another provision. So if you could clarify that for us, Ms. Aves, please.
Mr. Chair and members, it's confusing the way these two lines are drafted. The paragraph C, the stricken paragraph C in line 25, goes with the stricken 609.224 subdivision 2. It is paragraph C of that subdivision. That was repealed, and that's why that technical correction was made, I believe, in Senate Judiciary to strike that language, because that paragraph has been repealed. The paragraph that was repealed deals with the, I believe, assault of a vulnerable adult. That's why the 609.2231 subdivision 8 was added, so that that group of individuals was covered since that paragraph had been repealed.
Thank you, Ms. Ann. Also, if I could maybe turn to Ms. Kavanaugh for maybe follow up on that. Do you have any further questions or thoughts, please?
Mr. Chair and members, Ms. Aves is right. It was done in our Judiciary Committee because that paragraph C had been repealed. They just then took and put in the 609.223 subdivision 8 with the understanding that it was comparable to what was repealed. So they looked at it as just a technical change.
Okay. So if I can just understand this clearly, because this is something that was important to us, to me on the House floor, being the author with so many changes at the end, I want to make sure that Representative Hillstrom's comments are not avoiding making sure that folks will be safe from that language. I want to make sure that from staff's point of view, we have coverage in there to make sure that our vulnerable adults, anybody in the care of these boards are going to be covered with this new language, with your language that's in place.
Mr. Chair and members, that would be my understanding.
Okay.
I have a question.
Senator Eaton, please.
My my question's for Representative Hillstrom. I don't understand what you're saying 609.224 did that you want to reinstate. Is that what we're doing?
Representative Senator Eaton, 609.224 subdivision 2, I didn't see that paragraph C went along with it.
Oh.
It is gross misdemeanor assault, and so I was wondering why you were taking gross misdemeanor assault out of the disqualification. But if the C goes with it, that section of the statute was repealed. You are adding a gross misdemeanor assault on a vulnerable adult. In this next section, the 609.2231 subdivision 8. So I originally thought that C went along with the other section, the 609.2231. It was not clear that you are adding that vulnerable adult assault, right, which is what it previously said in paragraph C.
Right.
Senator
Chair, do you understand? So, is Representative Hillstrom saying that what the amendment says is what we want or not?
Oh, Senator Eaton, what I'm saying is that the amendment that they made it say exactly the same thing as it said before. They just have to reference different sections of law now because they moved it.
So is it fair to say, Representative Hillstrom, that maybe now understanding this language better, do you want to withdraw your oral amendment? Knowing now the language is more clear, is that what?
So the oral amendment doesn't have anything. I didn't want to do an oral amendment about these crimes. I wanted more clarification.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask whether or not, now that I understand the paragraph C section, if Mr. Chair, if you wanted it to say misdemeanor theft, the 609.52, that you're going to in the bill. If you want to exclude misdemeanor, that can be done. You just don't eliminate the entire chapter because that includes all thefts, even thefts over $35,000, even very significant thefts.
Okay. I'm sorry, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair, I think all the discussion is really, really good. My one thing was to consider dividing the amendment to make it a little bit easier to work with.
Right.
We've got so many things going on, and my thought was to divide it, first of all, there may be any other, but to divide it between 1.4 and 1.5, because those are two very distinct issues, and wondering if that might be helpful to help us move forward.
Okay, I can certainly do that. Is any more questions on the consider dividing this on the A6 amendment? We'll take action on 1.3 and 1.4 at this point. Members, any questions on that part of the amendment, 1.3 and 1.4? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
That motion fails. That amendment, that portion fails. Okay. We'll take up the division of 1.5, page 8, line 26, reinstating the stricken language.
Mr. Chair, we are dealing, would you repeat that again?
Yes, so we'll take action right now on 1.5 of the A6 amendment.
Just 1.5.
Just 1.5.
Okay.
So that one is page 8, line 26, to reinstate the stricken language.
We're voting it again. We're dividing it again. Can we do that?
You can if you want.
I want to be clear on this too, and I apologize for the it is confusing. So before we vote again, I want to make sure I have staff clarify what we're doing on this motion, okay?
Thank you.
So I will do that, thank you. So actually, if I could turn to Ms. Hayes about the 1.5 discussion next. What does that mean? What are we doing?
Mr. Chair, members, as I understood it, the amendment was going to be divided between lines 1.4 and 1.5, so that lines 1.3 and 1.4 would be considered together, which you did.
Which we did.
And lines 1.5 and 1.6 would be considered together.
Okay.
So I believe we're at consideration of lines 5 and 6.
We can do that, 1.5 and 1.6.
And does anybody need a an understanding of what this is? Yes, Senator Eaton.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that the reason that Section 15 is deleted on page 9 is because we passed that into law last year. It's just unnecessary.
We're going to take it out.
And then 1.5, I'd like to, again, just quick clarification. We didn't say restricted language. 1.6. Any questions on that, Senator Eaton?
Does this include Representative Hillstrom's oral amendment?
No.
Okay.
Does not. Our members, any more questions? Ready to vote on 1.5 and 1.6? Seeing no other questions, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That will carry. All right, so A6 is approved. All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, going down.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
The renumbering, the sections and sequence and all of that I left, is there any need to do?
We'll take care of that.
Advisory will take care of that.
All right,
okay. Thank you very much. Except for let's go to the bill. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Question is any oral amendment, is there anything left with all the discussion? There was some talk of oral. I just want to be sure that it's clear.
That's what that is. There are no more amendments in front of us at this point? Right? Okay. So let's go to the bill summary, if we could, members. And we'll start picking away at that.
We're not going to do
A3.
I have A3 here.
Let's adopt the sections first, members, and then we'll go back to the A3 a little later on. Okay? Let's go ahead and start with... So again, what we'll do is, members, we're going to go section by section. We'll be working off the bill summary comparison document. My plan is to have the nonpartisan staff discuss each section separately, and then have the community vote on this as we move along. So Ms. Ayers or Ms. Kavanaugh, if you'd like to begin.
Kavanaugh.
I'm looking at Senator Kiffmeyer. She's saying it differently than you are. Thank you. Okay, so yes, Ms. Ayers or Ms. Kavanaugh, I guess if you could take the first one, and we'll hopefully quickly move on quickly with the identical sections, and if anybody has any questions, so please proceed.
Okay, I think I'm probably going to be the person going through this rather quickly.
Okay.
If it's all right with the committee, the first four sections of the bill are identical. They all deal with physician assistants and physician delegation agreements. The first section removes the statutory reference to the alternative supervising position. The second section removes a reference referring to the supervising physician as a primary supervising physician. Section 3 strikes a paragraph that refers to an alternative supervising physician. And Section 4 requires physician assistants to notify the Board of Medical Practice of changes in practice location. As I said, they're all identical.
Very good. So Senator Eaton will move Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4 as presented to the committee. Any comments, questions? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. On to the next one, please.
No. Mr. Chair and members, referring to the Senate side of the document, Sections 5, 6, 7, and 8 are the midwifery bill from the Senate. Section 5 specifies that as part of the initial and ongoing screening, a midwife must provide or recommend that a client receive certain identified services. Section 6 permits a licensed midwife to administer maternal Rogaine. Section 7 permits the advisory council to review the summary report that the midwife is required to compile on each client. And Section 8 modifies the membership of the advisory council by clarifying that a licensed physician member
must have or is currently consulting with a collaborating or licensed traditional midwife.
Okay. Thank you for that. Again, so Senate reading will move Senate file, Senate sections 5 through 8 for approval. Any questions or comments from members? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those carry. Next up, please.
Mr. Chair, members.
Section 9.
Senate Section 9 is identical to the House section in House File 1584, the first engrossment that passed the House floor last year in the HHS omnibus bill. It exempts registered nurses and advanced practice registered nurses licensed in another state or territory. It allows them to come into Minnesota temporarily to provide certain types of continuing education and lecturing services.
Okay. Senator Eaton will move Senate Section 9 for approval. Any questions from members? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. Section 10.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 10 is identical to House Section 42 from Article 10 in last year's omnibus bill, except the Senate added a paragraph to exclude the Office of Complementary and Alternative Health Care from the suspension and licensing requirements in this section in order to remove the fiscal note. In all other respects, those sections are identical.
So Senate, any further questions on Senate Section 10? I guess seeing that, I'd like to have Senator Eaton move Section 10 on the Senate file. All right. Further questions or comments on Section 10? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Section 11, please.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Section 11 is identical to House File 1584, which was in Article 10, Section 43 of the HHS omnibus bill last year. It changes the disciplinary hearing to a contested case hearing.
All right, Senator Eaton will move Senate Section 11. Any members with any questions? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? On Section 12. You're doing great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 12 is the section we just discussed at length about the different criminal penalties. The House had a similar provision, or nearly identical provision, in its bill last year.
All right. We talked about this one earlier. We would choose to move the Senator Eaton will take Senate Section 12 as amended. Members, comments or questions? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. Section 13.
Mr. Chair and members, Section 13 is the Senate-only section. This was added to exclude the complementary and alternative health care practitioners from the Health Board's disciplinary procedures. This was done as part of the fiscal note in order to reduce any cost related to the bill.
Okay. Senator Eaton will move Section 13. Members, comments or questions? Anyone seeing that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. Section 14.
Mr. Chair, members, Section 14 of the Senate is identical to House File 1584, which was in Article 10, Section 45 last year. This requires the health boards to take action pursuant to the temporary license suspension if the board receives a report from the Health Professional Services Program and the board has probable cause to believe that continued practice by the regulated person presents the imminent risk of harm.
Okay. Senator Eaton once again moves another section. Members, comments or questions? Okay, Senator Eaton moves Section 14. of the Senate provision. So members, no questions, comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Carries. Section 15.
Mr. Chair, members, Section 15 was deleted with the author's amendment.
Do we need to move on that? No, we do not. We don't take action. Okay. Senate, Section 16.
Mr. Chair, members, Section 16 is the instruction to the revisor telling them to change the term physician's assistant to physician assistant.
Okay, here we go. Got it. Senator Eaton moves Section 16. Members, comments, questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. That is it.
We have one more section.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please continue.
Mr. Chair, members, we have one more section, the repealer. Section 17 of the Senate. The Senate language needs to be adopted because the committee has adopted the midwifery language in the bill.
Okay. Members, questions? Senator Eaton will move Senate Section 17. Repealer, any questions? Supervisor? Just take the whole thing, Senator Eaton. No? Just take the whole bill. Just do it pretty much. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. On to the A3 amendment. Does anybody want a copy of the A3 amendment? If not, well, why not? Senator Eaton, just do it all, okay? Okay, so Senator Eaton will offer the A3 amendment. To the amendment, again, that should be attached, members. Let's see, where's my copy here? There it is, thank you. The A3 amendment is in front of us. Looks like a technical change. Members, any questions on the A3 amendment?
I would like to.
Senator Eaton. Okay, Ms. Hayes, would you please explain the amendment to the members?
Mr. Chair and members, as I understand it, the term physician ancillary is used in one or two places in statute. The request was made that the revisor change that term wherever it's found in statute to the correct term, which is physician assistant.
That's all this does?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all good on the valley here. Any member questions on the A3 amendment? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor of the A3 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? A3 is amended.
Adoption.
Right here. All right, members, are there any more amendments, comments, questions on our physician assistance bill plus? Hearing and seeing none. So Senator Eaton moves House File 1036 as amended to be adopted at the conference committee. The unofficial engrossment as amended be adopted as the conference committee report. Final comments. Looking for the final votes. Members, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Chair, at this moment, I'm not going to hold anything up. I've asked staff to get me any definitions through case law of what the definition of serious harm is so that we all know prior to bringing it to the floor what, if there is a definition out there in case law or in administrative law, I think we should all know what that is before we sit on the floor.
It's a good point, Representative Wilson. In fact, hearing your thoughts and comments earlier, I do want to work with you on understanding this technical stuff better, because this is important with comments that I'm hearing back in my district about looking at folks and what does this really mean. I think this is important language, and I appreciate your work on this. I want to work with you on this as we go forward as well. So thank you for that. Any other comments, members? Hearing and seeing none, so we're going to vote now on again, I'll say it one more time. Senator Eaton moves House File 1036 unofficial endorsement as amended to be adopted as the conference committee report. Members, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Conference committee has pushed him for the hood. That's okay. I think
that's our report for the day. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.